This episode is sponsored in part by PTZ Optics. Why hire a camera operator when the control is in your hands? Visit ptzoptics.com for more information. And by NewTek, makers of the TriCaster TC1. Stun your viewers, not your accountant. Visit newtek.com for more information.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Stories from the Cabin. I guess that's what we've been calling it or whatever. But I'm here with the guys, sick as ever, but they're here. Braden's here.
We're hanging in there.
And then we've got Jake over here. Jake's over here hacking up along the whole intro. I thought he was going to fall off his chair.
It's that PA weather, I'm telling you.
That's because we all were out. And it was opening trout, except for Jake. Jake was not out.
Yes.
So were you not out?
I had other plans. So going along with these goats and this donkey, still trying to make that the fence up. And I had a whole bunch of brush in the pasture because I cleared out a whole bunch when we moved in. And that was probably the best place I thought I could put it, which, come to think of it, wasn't. So I decided to move it all from the pasture and put it into the woods. So I had my buddy Emus come over with his skid loader and a grapple bucket. And he's like, oh, yeah, we can move it. And he just started going through the back field with the grapple bucket. And then all of a sudden, I see him stop and lower the grapple bucket and drop the load and try to back out. And he comes back up backwards, idles the machine down, and looks at me and goes, well, we bottomed out. I was like, well, what do you mean you bottomed out? He's like, well, it's a little softer than we thought it was. And I go down, and I mean, there's ruts all throughout it. At one point in a video of it, it's like almost up to my shin. Yeah, there you go. So that's where he dropped a load, and that goes all throughout the back of the pasture and the bottom field.
Sent her a little hard there, Jake, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. So now we got to wait for this to dry out, and then I need to, he's going to have to come back over and finish moving because we got about halfway through the pile. So that was my my fun enjoyment opening day of trout season. Was trying to move this pile through my back pasture. And didn't work out too well.
You should have went fishing.
Yep, I should have went fishing.
You should have went fishing. He was telling us about this. We asked him. We said, "Hey, did you go?" Nope, I didn't go. Why? Because I was digging ruts in my pasture and my property. We were like sitting there like, what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there's never a time that since we've been here for 4 years now that I haven't tore up or ripped up some part of our ground doing some projects. So the wife's not too happy with me again.
I'm just going to say your wife has to probably be not feeling very confident in your setups.
Last year we dug waterline out to the barn. So I had the mini excavator over digging a 4.5 foot trench from the house to the barn, which was about 150 feet or so. And that was through the middle of our yard. So then came all the mud, and we have two dogs. So then when it rained, it turned to mud, and the dogs would bring the mud inside. So she wasn't happy with that. End of last year, I dug out for a in-ground deck, or ground level deck. So now I need to put grass seed over what I dug out there. Now I have the back pasture tore up. So yeah, it's going on a track record of just ripping everything up on this property. So hopefully it stops soon.
So what he's saying, Braden, is he ain't getting no saddle hunt or anything anytime soon. He's pretty much toast, right?
Yeah, he's going to be busy fixing ruts for the next 5 years, sounds like.
His wife's not going to let him buy nothing.
That's what I want to get out of, because when we first moved in, I rehabbed this whole home, and I didn't get to go hunting the first year. I think we moved in because I was too busy working on the house. And then the year after that, we had our daughter. And then the year after that was 2 years ago. I think I got out a little bit, and then last year I was building this deck. So I just want to get all these projects done in the spring and early summer so I have time to go out and actually hunt and not have to worry about projects.
And we're going to be hearing this story into the summer where he's going to be like, I got to get this done. We'll be going into the fall, and he's going to be like, oh, I'm not going to get the hunt this year. See, that's one of the reasons we looked for a move-in ready house, because our old house was kind of one of those, you know, fixer-uppers, like you kind of nickel and dime it. And, you know, it didn't have to be a brand new house, but it was a lot newer than, you know, it was built in 85. But it was something like I didn't have to put, you know, a ton of work into it in that sense, you know, just like little odd and end stuff. But I didn't want to be doing what you're doing right now. And Braden was the smartest one. He just built his house and been done with it.
Yeah, I built my house, and then obviously my man cave waited till after hunting season, and I worked in the evenings there. But it was also one of those things. I wanted to get it done so I could put my mounts in here and hang out. But at the same time, I was like, I'm too busy. I'm going hunting. It can wait.
What he didn't say was he had him in the living room, and his wife was like, you need to get that done and get him out of here.
That post right behind me, I built that little tree there and hung on my deer while she was sleeping the one day on the couch, taking a nap. I snuck it in and put all my mounts on the tree, and she woke up and was like, it looks nice, but get it out of here. I was like, well, I literally have nowhere to put it right now because my room's not done. But once it gets done, we'll put it up there. And then that's when she's like, well, go get flooring, go get stuff you need, and finish it.
So she basically lowered the boom and the hammer, right?
Yeah, so I got to go ahead to build it quicker than what we thought we were going to finish it. So worked out in my favor.
Yeah, because you got
to do it. Did you buy any tools you wanted to go with it? And be like, oh, yeah, I need this new saw, this new hammer.
I bought tools every time I went to Home Depot. I made a Home Depot run every Monday, and I was coming home with like a brad nailer, new drill, some tools. She's like, what do you need that for? I was like, it was a good deal. I had to have it.
Tell her, so you told me to get it done. This is going to help me get it done faster.
Yeah, I didn't need half the stuff I bought, but I have it now.
Well, just like yesterday, right? We'll get into some of this fishing stuff. But yesterday, I was going around. I went out. I had off Monday and Tuesday. I took some comp time. I went fishing Monday. I went fishing Tuesday because Monday was miserable. It was like 41. It was raining. I was like, yeah, I'm deer blind. Yes. Sitting in front of a lake with the wind blowing. Not my cup of tea. I'm not going to sit there and do that. So I was on Walmart.com because I was looking for something else. And I found a pressure washer. And I used to DJ, so I had recently just sold my DJ turntable that I had. I had a really good one. I gave it to a guy that's starting his own business doing it. So I got $450. It was supposed to be $500, but he kind of casually forgot that that's what we agreed on. He gave me $450, so it was kind of one of those deals. But anyways, I bought this pressure washer. So I'm out yesterday after fishing, and I'm out there pressure washing. I got an electric one because with gas prices, it was like, well, I'm going to be tethered to a hose anyway. So, you know, but it has like 2,300 PSI. So I'm out there doing the boat, you know, getting the boat. And I was like, dang, man, I had this algae stuff, like film growing on the back of the deck, on the back of the pontoon. It got that stuff right off. So I want to hit it. When it warms up, I'm going to do the whole deck interior with some soap and stuff that I got for it. But I was doing the back siding on the back of the garage. I was like, wow, this is really, really cool. My wife comes home and she goes, huh? I said, what? She's like, where'd you get that? I said, I bought it. She goes, yeah, I know, but you didn't say anything about it. I was like, hey, it was a deal. I couldn't pass it up. I was like, what? Look at the back siding, because we're having Easter here. I'm like, look at the back siding. It's all clear. That was all I had to do. And she's like, wow, that looks really good. She's like, that'll be good for pictures and stuff outside. I'm like, see? But you know how it is when you get that tool.
I did this for you, honey.
That's it. You know how it is when you get a tool like that. You got to try it on everything, right?
Yeah, you got to show its worth, why you bought it.
You got to sit there and go, oh, I wonder if it does this, right? You get the old laser.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was something that I thought was kind of amusing. But so last week I showed that I was getting this deer tower, if you will. It was from Millennium, right? You guys remember I showed you guys that?
Yep.
So they canceled my order for it. They claimed they had none in stock. Okay. 2 days later. Now, mind you, they're still holding on to my money. Okay. They said my money will be there between 1 and 7 business days. That's kind of like the weatherman saying you could get between 1 and 12 inches of snow. So I'm sitting there. 2 days after I got my refund, I look back on the website. Miraculously, they have one in stock. Now, when I was buying it, the regular price, and you can go on anywhere online and look for this, $849. Comes with the stand, comes with the top, the blind, everything, the whole nine. Well, lo and behold, you could actually go there right now, go on dickssportinggoods.com and look up the Millennium Tree Blind, and you'll see it's now relisted at $999. So they didn't cancel the order because they, like they said, they claimed it was out of stock. They jacked up the price. Now Cabela's,
they wanted more money.
Yeah, Cabela's has it for $850 or $849. A bunch of other places have it for $849. They're low stock and they might not have it. And some of the other places might not have it in stock. But I couldn't believe that. I'm like, is that legal? Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Kind of,
I know there's been a few like Facebook groups I follow where DeWalt one time messed up pricing on one of their tool packages. Like, you know, you get like 8 or 9 tools in one. They're like one box and retails for like $7.99, and it went on the website for $1.99. And just like everyone was posting about it, and so many people bought it for like $200 and like it finally arrived, and some of them said they got their orders canceled. So I feel like they're like, oh crap, it's a glitch. Some of them went through before they probably figured out what it was, or in your instance, before they really realized, huh, we probably could get more money for this. Let's raise the price. So cancel all the orders and say, oh, yep, we're back in stock now.
Well, and that's what I didn't understand, because other places here, I'll pull it up for everybody so they can see it so they know I'm not just complaining about this here. Right here, $999.
Yep.
And it was and like if I look it up, if I pull it up for the other places, like I said, if you just Google Millennium, if you just go Buck Hut, that's what they, you know, if I put in Buck Hut into Google here real quick, I'll show you guys here. It's $850 just about everywhere else. Like, I don't understand. Like, right up here, look, yep. Cabela's has it. Bass Pro has it. Technically, according from ATA, with the interviews that I watched, its MSRP is $699. So all these other places are even jacking up the price.
Yeah.
But what's the other company I was just saying? Dick's. Dick's is the only one that's selling it for $999. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, that better not be the reason that you guys canceled my order.
Yeah, that's absurd. Wouldn't
surprise me. It's all that gas for them to ship it out.
Well, you're still, and that's the other thing. It's $300 shipping for that.
$300?
$300 shipping freight. Now, if you get it from, I think Cabela's, it's $150. But I debated, Avon, Ohio is only an hour and a half from me, and I debated driving to Cabela's up there to pick it up. And just buy it out and just pick it up. But last I called, they didn't have any in stock. They were supposed to get some in a week or two. We'll see how that goes. And then I might do it. So, because I said, well, your website says that you have them. And they said, well, you can't. I got burned once by that. So I'm not driving anywhere until I call and check it. So that was a little bit of an escapade this week. You know, talk to 50 million different people and everybody has a different answer. But they did give me a $20 credit.
Ooh.
I know, that's what I was saying. I'm like, yeah. So how about you just give me the $150 credit and just send it to me for $999?
Right.
And then give it to me for $850 like I originally had it. But all in all, Jake, I know you're out playing with ruts, but Braden, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to kind of know about how your opening day went. And anybody in the chat room, how your opening day went of trout. We'll be right back right after this.
Apex Gear, known for their performance-driven archery sights and accessories, is pleased to introduce the new Covert Series archery sight. VersaPen technology allows shooters to change the pen color and pen size on demand in an instant. The compact and lightweight sight is equipped with stainless steel hardware, micro-adjustable windage and elevation, an ultra-smooth, easy one-hand adjustment knob for quick yardage changes, and a micro-push button light. The new Covert Series from Apex Gear.
Confidence is key, and when bow hunting, confidence can be defined by one word: accuracy. Introducing the Thorn Expandable Broadhead. Its patented hidden blade technology guarantees field point accuracy, and the patented rip tip grabs at hide and flesh, ensuring deployment and beginning the process of devastation. Its stainless steel blades render up to a massive 2.2 inch cut. For confidence and accuracy, there is only one choice: Thorn Broadheads, the world's most accurate broadhead.
All right, and we're back, and we want to thank all of our supporters and sponsors for their support and continued support here of No Boundaries Outdoors. I know we're a day early. You don't have to check your calendars or check your clocks. We are a day early, but that's because Braden has a meeting tomorrow and there's a few things going on, so we had to push it up one day. But fishing, how many times did you get to go out for trout so far?
I got out Saturday afternoon and then went out for a little while Sunday, so a couple hours here and there.
And how well did you do?
So Saturday, I took a little different approach than I normally do. I broke my tradition of getting up at 5, 6 a.m., finding a stream, fighting people off. And I figured I'll take my son out because he enjoys being outdoors and whatnot. So that's what we did. We waited till it got a little bit warmer out and took him out Saturday afternoon and found a nice little hole, nothing huge, but there was a guy already there fishing the hole, so we just went right below him instead of my son pestering around him. So we were just fishing little current there, and we didn't end up catching anything, but he had a great time. I mean, he learned how to reel it in, so he can reel it pretty decent. Doesn't like it in the water, wants to run around with it, which is all right. I mean, I had a good time. He had a good time bonding. Had a run-in with the law our first 5 minutes there, so that was always great.
Oh, they were checking for licenses where you're at, too?
Yeah. Well, that's first fish warden I've seen down here in years. And we get to the spot, and we were literally there for 5 minutes, and he came pulling in. And I'm like, not that I was doing anything wrong. I was legal, everything else, but I was like, well, I know what this is coming to. And he came down. He was a cool dude. I mean, nice. He hung out and talked a little while, but he's like, well, I'm sure you know the reason I'm down here. I'm here to check your guys' license. I'm like, yeah, mine's on my vest. He's like, yep, you're good to go. I see that, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I have the little one out. I'm like, well, we're trying. Like, we don't have the line in the water too often, but he's having fun, so that's all that matters. And then after he left, I cast it out a couple more times. The guy above us, he did catch a fish, so my son got to see him bring it in, and he enjoyed that. But weather's just been too crappy for me to take him out in the evenings. I'm trying to wait for a warmer day and find a hole where we can sit and I can throw the line and just let it right, sit there for a while and wait for a fish. But yeah, overall, Saturday was a good day, though. I mean, we didn't catch any fish, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Getting to go out with him and enjoy what I love to do. So
I realized, I was talking to the guys on Saturday, I realized why they changed the rule that you don't have to display the license. It's because it gives them a reason to come up to you and talk to you. Yes. And I just put mine because they were there opening day, and then I was there Tuesday, and they showed up. Now, they didn't come over to me. They were going to different people, but I just put my license. I pinned it right to my thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to deal with these people. You know,
whenever I went up, my mom was down here the Thursday before, and I went up and got my license. She's like, you know, you don't have to have them on your vest anymore. And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, no, I read somewhere that you don't have to. And I'm like, well, I'm still just going to put it on my vest, because if I don't, I'm probably going to lose it. So
I always have my vest. They're talking about digital licenses, aren't they?
I think you can already do it with.
Yeah, you can do digital license. I did that. You can either take a screenshot of it, or what I did is I put it in notes. You can see right there. Yeah. I have mine right there.
Okay.
So my wife's and mine. And the weird thing is they did my license and my trout stamp separately. So they look like two licenses.
Right.
But my wife's, they did hers all on one.
Hmm.
So I don't know. But I also got my license back in January. So I don't know.
Right.
Hers I got like the day before. So I don't know. But I like the digital aspect, because I even asked him, I said, do you want digital or hard? He goes, I don't care as long as it's a license. So
yep, absolutely. That's like Montana. We put in for Montana again this year. We'll find out next week if we draw or not. But they give you the option now to do an electronic tag, which makes it nice, because we printed our license off last year from Montana, and it was obviously it's just paper. You printed it off a printer, so. We had to worry about making sure it doesn't get wet, putting it in a Ziploc bag, yep. carrying it around. And I'm like, it's just a pain, yep. especially if it's just paper. It's a pain mm-hmm. because more than likely it's going to get wet and it's going
to
get ruined.
Now, I never understood why they keep that where you have to tag the animal. What, like, as long as you have the license on you, what does it matter?
Right.
You know, yeah, like.
I don't understand that either.
For any, not just out Montana, but like, you know, like. Just deer season. Like
they probably don't want you to take it more than one. It's like a buck or something. You shoot one, you got the tag on you, but then who says you don't? I mean, I'm not saying I do, but I butcher my own. I don't take it to a butcher shop. Right. So,
but even if okay, so to that point though, Jake, even if you did do that, you tag the buck. What's stopping you from when you get home taking that tag off that buck and? Putting it right back in your hat or your vest and going right back out.
I mean, exactly nothing. And I don't think there's anything going to stop people from trying to circumvent everything that's there. I mean, people aren't tagging does or tagging does out of the WMU that they shot them in or
no.
everything like that. I mean, I think people, if they find a way to break the law, they're going to do it. But I don't know. I know they changed the tagging system for PA last year. Where instead of writing it on, kind of like other states, where you have to kind of cut out the month
and your month day, whatever. Yeah.
See,
that's
in Ohio. Different. If you're a property owner, if you live in the state and you're a property owner, you don't have to get a tag. You get one yep. buck and five doe. That's your limit.
Yeah, I think PA, it's you have to have like 60 or 70 acres to be considered that, and then you can do a
homestead,
not red tags, but like it's a different kind of tag where you can hunt off your land, but you have to have like I said, I think it's like 60 or 70 acres to do it. But I mean, unless you live in the mountains, you're not going to get that around here.
I've never heard of that one.
I think it's look it up. I think it's called the Homestead Act. If somebody in the chat room knows about that, or I think that's what it is. But in PA, I believe that's. Somebody in the chat room, if you know, put it in there. But yeah, I've heard of that too. If you're a landowner, you can also get nuisance tags in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So if the deer are causing, you know, any kind of, like my mother-in-law, they keep eating her shrubs. So like she could technically get nuisance tags and I could go in and hunt.
So you know? Basically, like if you have a certain amount of acreage, you don't have to buy a license?
I don't know if it's you don't have to buy a license or if it's like you get certain amount with it.
Okay.
I don't, like you said, with Ohio, you're guaranteed stuff. I think PA has something a little different to that, but
okay, yeah, I've never heard of it. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, we'll have to see if anybody leaves a comment under this or, you know, watching live. I've heard of that before. I've heard of like the nuisance, like you can get extra licenses for, you know, you still need a hunting license, obviously, in PA. Right. But yeah, I don't know how that fares. But I also noticed here too, you were doing some spinning, it looks like, on I guess it was Sunday.
Yep.
So I didn't do any spinning this week, so I didn't really put anything down for that. So I'll let you kind of what are you using here?
Those three lures right there, those would be, they're called Joe's flies.
Okay.
And basically they look like a fly, you know what I mean, where the hooks are. But they also, it's like a fly with a spinner attached.
So you're reeling these fast on top water rather than letting them go deep and...
No, so what I normally do, like the one on the far right, it's really light, so I put like the smallest split shot I can close down to that.
Okay.
And then I normally fish like a fast current with it and cast it.
Okay.
And I let it work down the current and I just jig it time to time. And I catch a lot of trout on it. So it works like a fly, but it also works like a spinner at the same time. So you got like the fly effect, but also the shining of a spinner coming through. So
nice.
I've had a lot of luck on Joe's flies in the past, and that's mainly what I fish with now. Like I said, if I'm fishing a current that has moving water, I normally fish that. But yeah, even then I'll take like a Thomas eel or a Panther Martin or just even a rooster tail. That's, I like fishing with lures, so that's mainly what I run.
I use a lot of MEPS fishing lures, and then I also use the Panther Martins and the blue foxes. I like those. But I haven't used any this year. I've been using all bait, power bait.
Right.
That's what we fish up here. This was actually opening day. We got there like you. We did the opposite. We got there 5:45. There was like nobody there. It was Floyd, myself, his wife, my kids, my wife, and then a buddy of mine, Mark, who watches the show, and then his son Caleb. And we all got there, and it was like 5:45. Nobody's there. I'm like, I was saying to the guys, I'm like, this is kind of worrisome. We're sure that they stocked, right? Like you know, and we're all just like, are you sure? You know? And everybody's like, yeah, we think so. You know, it's like, and then all of a sudden I would have to say it was probably about 20 minutes to 8:00. It was like a mad rush to, opening, you know, just to come in and get a spot. So
it was
kind of funny. We'll get back to some of these pictures here for opening day, but Mark, who's actually watching the show right now, he just texted me about our the app, you know, for the hunting license, non-resident adult hunting license, resident land. Okay, it's called a resident landowner hunting license is what he has. It's $4.97, and it's issued to qualified resident owners or possessors of land comprising 80 or more contiguous acres.
There it is.
Which are enrolled in a Pennsylvania Game Commission Cooperative Public Access Program. Land must be open to public hunting and trapping the entire license year. So basically, like, okay, if you got 80 acres, you got to open it up to the public.
You got to lease it to the public through the Game Commission. Okay. That makes sense.
Thanks, Mark, for sending that in. That's good to know.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I never heard of that before, so that was new to me.
But I know, like I said, there is the nuisance. So if the deer, all the landowner has to do is say, hey, I got deer there on my property. That I do know about. They're a nuisance, and then they can give you tags to go in and, you know, get them off the landowner. But I think where the problem starts coming, if you do that every year, because, you know, eventually you're going to eradicate them. Like they would, I think they would catch on. Like they just want extra deer hunting. You know, I think they would catch on. But yeah, so we did, it was cold. I mean, I'm not opening day. It was cold, and, we braved it out. My daughter caught the most. She got three. My son, she got four. She got four. My son got two. My son got one, and my wife got two. And then Caleb got one. My buddy Mark's son. So what had happened was, like, two of the ones that I had there, I was helping getting Caleb's fish off the pole, and my other pole started going. So, like, what are you going to do, right? So my wife pulled that in, and then I had to use the restroom because they didn't open the restrooms till 8 o'clock, and you're drinking a big mug of coffee. It's like you had to go. And then I was on my way back, apparently, and my other pole went. We left it in there, and my daughter pulled in. But at the end of the day, I didn't really care because, you know, I wanted the kids to have fun. I wanted them to be catching stuff, you know. And, you know, it's one thing. The adults don't really care. Like, I pulled in 50 million fish. They still going in my freezer. I don't care, you know. But
yeah.
It was, like you said with your son, it was just to see that they were having a good time. They were catching fish. And my son, he was, like, trash-talking out the rear end. Like, he just, like, I'd tell him, like, sit down and watch your pole. And he'd be like, who's the one that caught the fish? he was just, like, throwing stuff out me like that. And I was just like, you just sit down. I said, who taught you how to fish?
Right.
You know? He's like, yeah, but you ain't got no fish. Like, he just run, you know, he'll do that. Him and I will go back and forth sometimes. So the funniest part. My daughter got her fourth one because him and Caleb decided they were going to play tag because they were bored. So they're running over there. They're playing tag. Well, the guy next to Daniel starts yelling. He's like, hey. He's like, his pole's going. So my daughter runs over, pulls it, sets the hook, starts reeling in. Well, my son comes over while she's reeling in, and he's like, hey, give it over. She had it to the bank already. It was like we were netting it, you know?
Right.
And, he's like, you didn't let me pull it in. Like, if you wouldn't have been playing tag, you would have seen your pole go. You should be thanking your sister your pole didn't go in the water.
They snooze, you lose.
And it was a really good lesson for him because he learned. Because, I mean, we say that to him all the time. And I understand he's young. They're kids. They want to run around.
Yep.
But I told him, I said, that's why you got to sit next to your pole. Suppose your sister wasn't there, the guy wasn't there, your pole would have went in the water. You know? And so he learned a valuable lesson. And guess what? He didn't move from his chair the rest of the time that we were there. He sat there and waited. But it's like we tried to tell him, like, you know, this is what happened. So,
well, at least your son was playing tag. My son was using his fishing pole as a shovel. So,
well, the difference in age there a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but I looked over and he's just ramming the end of that pole into the dirt. And I'm like, yep, that's going to be broke. I told my wife, I'm like, well, last year whenever I bought him it for Easter, obviously, I'm like, he's got to have the best. So I bought him an ugly stick. Didn't need it.
What were you thinking?
I'm like, maybe I should have just bought him like one of those little Zepco Spider-Man reels or something.
Yep.
But, oh well, he had fun. It's all matters. I'll buy him a new one whenever he's done using it as a shovel.
Live and learn, right? All right. So I got a question for you guys. Like, I was showing some different people. This is the way I clean my trout. For those that are listening on the audio podcast, you really got to go back and watch the video on this. But basically, I skin my trout. I completely get rid of everything: fins, tail, head. I crack it like a banana and peel it back, skin it. I clean all the, you know, everything out from the inside. I don't know, guys. I basted it in salt, a sea salt water too, before I put it in a what is it, air sealers. And a fisherman of a long time told me if you baste it in sea salt water, what it does is it draws any kind of that fishy, because every fish tastes like fish, but you know what I'm saying? Like that nasty fishy that sometimes fish have. So I've always basted it in sea salt water before I put it in the air sealer, seal it and freeze it. Is that how you, I mean, how do you guys prepare trout? Do you fillet them? I mean, they seem a little too small to be, like, you know, 13 to 15 inch trout are a little bit too small and thin to be filleting. What do you guys do?
So I fillet most of them.
Do you really?
Yeah, it ends up just like yours, obviously. You fillet them and then peel the skin off. But yeah, I do that. Basically, I clean them up and whatnot, and I run them through some water, clean everything off of it. But no, I don't like soak them in sea salt or whatnot.
Okay.
But I did. Yeah, I mean, my dad's buddy, Whenever he goes salmon fishing, with salmon, it's a little bit more stronger,
fishy
flavor. He always marinates his in, like, marinate, soak them in ranch and milk.
Ranch and milk?
Yep, and he said it. The,
never heard
the
of that.
Mixture of the ranch and milk sucks all the fishy flavor out. And every time he comes back from salmon fishing, he does it, and he gives us a couple packs of salmon, and I mean they taste wonderful. I love salmon to begin with, but like you can tell it takes some of the fishy flavor out. So I don't know if they would work the same as trout or what.
Might be worth a try. My wife
doesn't hurt.
She likes fish, but she like trout. When if there's certain trout that are too strong, like usually the older ones are usually they're really fishy. Like I don't mind it. I grew up on trout, so I just look for ways to do that. What about you, Jake? I mean, when you did get to go out and you weren't putting ruts in your field the other years and you got to fish for trout, how do you prepare it?
So pretty much when I've done it with my buddies, pretty much we would, kind of like what you said, just skin them out, just take the scales off, fillet them, and then we usually just cook them up right away. Sometimes we don't even seal them. Like that's just what dinner is, but I mean, a lot of the times it's just quick and easy, just kind of get most of it off and whatever else. But I mean, there are times when, like when we go to turkey camp, there's a guy that actually raises trout and he'll bring some up to cook, and they cook it with the scales and everything on.
Ooh.
Like they just fillet it out and the scales on it, and like cook it up, and they're all eating it with like the scales and stuff on it, and I couldn't get past it at first. Like just try it. I tried it and it really didn't make a difference. Like it's just cooked and everything else. So but, yeah, that was a new experience for me trying with the with everything on it.
Yeah, I don't do it with that. There's too much fish oil in there. I'll pass on that.
So sometimes whenever I catch brookies,
yeah.
Like, I'll chop the heads off, I'll gut them, I'll cut the gills off and whatnot, but yeah, like, I wrap them in tinfoil and cook them on the grill.
Yeah.
And then, like Jake said, whenever they're done, I mean, you can just peel the meat peel the fish right off the skin and the bone, so, yeah. And it tastes pretty good. I guess it's just more of a quick and convenient way of doing it.
But I think it all depends on, too. If like I don't mind it, like I would eat it with the skin on it, like you know, cooked with the skin on it wouldn't bother me, but the wife and kids probably. So what I do is like when I cook it to where the meat's pretty much falling off the bone, and if you take a fork, you can just kind of go with the way the rib cage goes and you'll get 90% of the bones off like that, and then tiny ones that are in there, they're usually like rubberized or whatever, you swallow them, you don't even realize it. But I had to do that when the kids were younger, because obviously you don't want them to choke on the bones.
Exactly.
So my dad always did it for us. So we just did it. But what I wanted to show you guys, again, you guys listening to the audio, I apologize. You're going to have to go back and watch the video, because this is kind of hilarious. So that was opening day. I think it got up near 50, 51 before the day was done. This was the day after. This is what I woke up to the day after. Fishing's opening day trout. Okay.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference. So now I'm going to show you the day after the day after. So this would be Monday, or I'm sorry, this would actually be Tuesday. So 2 days after opening day. That's what it looked like when I was up there yesterday. Fish, it was beautiful out. It got up to 65. I was chilling. I actually caught two. I put this out on Facebook because I thought, it might spark some engagement, because it's hard to see how many's there. The real fishermen or ladies would be able to tell. But they were pretty decent. The 13.
I was going to say, in the water, they look pretty nice.
The
one's a decent size.
One's about 13, a little over 13. And the other one was about 12. So on my table, and it has the amount, you know, the measuring. So. Not too shabby, but I'm more or less filling the freezer with it. I'm not trophy fishing, if you will.
Yep.
Like if you get one, you get one, but it's not
yeah
it's not priority. But I just thought it was funny, like the whole weather system right now is just strange, because like I was hoping it was gonna stay warm. I was gonna take the top off the boat, pressure wash the boat, get it ready. The lake near us, I was telling Mark, I said, they filled it up. It's only a foot and a half below summer pool right now. They put the courtesy docks in. If it would warm up, I could get the boat out in the lake. We could do some crappie fishing, but, you know, it's
I do know one thing, though. Yeah. The weather has the turkeys fired up.
Yeah?
Yeah, let me send you a video.
Yeah, okay.
Quick, once I find it.
Jake, are you going to go out? Are you going to go turkey hunting, or are you going to... be doing more ruts?
No, my the guy I go with up at his camp, he texted me that today and was like, hey, we're leaving the 29th, coming back the second. You in? I was like, I'm excuse me. I was like, yeah, I believe so, but let me just verify with the ball and chain to make sure that I'm still good to go that weekend. Hopefully she's not watching, because
I was gonna say she's gonna really love you.
Yeah, you're really gonna be in trouble.
You're cruising, man. Like there ain't gonna be nothing new in your future.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll get away for that. I'm still deciding, like I said earlier, in the podcasts, I wanted to get a 410 and take it out. But I just bought an 870, so I'll have that if I wanna to go out, but still looking to do the whole 410 hunting.
Nice. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, our last break of the show. We're going to come back. We're going to show Braden's got a video here of how these turkeys are fired up. I see them here. We'll show you that here when we come back in just a few minutes. We are back, and we were talking about I just gotta get the sound situated here to where we can actually you can actually hear the sound of it, because he said that there is some every time you rev up the engine, right, it there's like,
yeah,
some
every
gobbling
time I hit the throttle and revved up, they gobbled.
This so will be fired up right now. We're gonna attempt to do this here. Let's see if I can. I've not done it with the NDI input here. We're going to give that a go. Let's see if it, either way, we're going to play it here and see what happens. There we go. The audio should be coming through. You guys aren't going to hear it, but the audience will. Right. That's funny. Let's see if I can boost the audio. We'll see. If not, Braden will put it out on social.
Or Braden.
Yeah, he'll put it out. This looked like a lot of turkeys over there, right?
There's been like 15 of them every day right there.
Wow.
Some long beards, Jake's, hens, literally every day since I think Saturday I started seeing them, and they're there every day whenever I go past there.
Well, as long as you're in the same spot.
Every time I always tell myself, take your camera. You can get really good pictures of it. And then I forget my camera, and then they're there. Then I get frustrated, and I'm like, I knew I should have brought it.
Just carry it with you all the time.
I know, I need to.
I know it's a pain, but if you're taking video and photos, it's something that you got to get in the habit of doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those things, because you just never know when it's going to happen, so...
Well, that was like Thursday whenever I went to get my fishing license. There's a couple fields on the way to the store where I go get my stuff. So this time of year, there's turkeys in the fields every night. So I saw a flock of turkeys. There was like 5 longbeards in there strutting. The next field, there was a black bear in the far back field. The next field, there were deer. I'm like, what are the odds of that? deer, turkey, and a bear, and I never had my camera.
Hey, no, pictures or didn't happen, right, Jake?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's one of them things. I'm like, yeah, no one's going to believe me, but.
Oh, we believe you. I'm just.
It is what it is.
I'm messing with you.
So I was trying to find, someone actually posted, I found it here on.
Here, link me. Link me if you want me to pull it up.
Let me see if I can, it's on a private page, so I don't know if it will,
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, okay. If it's on a private page, I'm not going to be able to, unless I'm in that page.
Yeah, but, yeah, it was, I can screen record it and do it then, but it was, right down the road from me. Someone saying they, I don't know if it was pet turkeys that got out or what, but they were running up and down our road and, excuse me, charging cars and stuff. And it was just funny because, like, you just see them just strutting up and down the road and cars coming and they turn and they run right at it and go right up next to it and stuff. I was like, I'd never heard turkeys around here, but a lot of the farmers have them as pets. I am wondering if two got out and they decided to wreak havoc on the roads.
I know turkeys get mean around, we'll call their breeding season, rut, whatever you want to call it, nesting season. Whenever I was growing up, I had turkeys as pets. So I would always go in and feed them. And around this time of year, the gobblers, they would get feisty. They would chase me around the pen. You'd have to kick them off you. Like, we had to de-sperm and everything. They got mean. And then finally, like it got to the point where they were killing each other. So finally, it just got to the point, like, we started out like 20. A couple years later, we had like 10. A couple years later, we had like 3. And it just got to the point, we let them out. And the following year after we let them out, the neighbor guy that has property behind us, it was turkey season, and he shot one. He's like, came up to my dad. He's like, you wouldn't believe the gobbler I just shot. He's like, that thing had like a 14-inch beard. He's like, it's an old one. My dad's like, yeah. He's like, that's one of the ones we let out. And he's like, oh, dang it.
Your dad was hoping that somebody would shoot it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they became a hassle. Like, we hatched them from the egg. We had incubators and everything else. We hatched them. We had them for a good while, but like I said, they got mean. And it just became too much work. They were killing each other off, so we decided we were done with it.
My wife's been after me to get some chickens. Every time we go into Tractor Supply, it's like she wants to look at the baby chicks, and I'm like, I don't want chickens running around the yard.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Bad idea?
I did that 20... Daughter was born in 2019, 2020, right at the beginning of the pandemic. We bought 6 chicks.
Yeah.
Then you spend $1,200 to build a chicken coop.
Yeah.
Then your wife and your daughter to lose interest and you to take care of them every day.
Yeah.
And now they're gone. So, yeah. Not
at all. Wait. Let's back up let's back up just a little bit here. To the point where you said you take care of them and now they're gone. Explain gone. What happened to them?
Yeah. Well, 2 died of natural causes in the beginning.
What? To the end of your rifle?
No. And then, well, I'll have to find the picture. We had a rooster that I couldn't even go in the pen. Like, every time I'd go in there, he would charge me. He would attack me. Like, I couldn't do anything.
Where are these videos?
So, like, I probably have some, but then he would, like, literally charged me, and I quick throw the food in. So I actually built a contraption on the back of the pen,
right,
that I used a HVAC boot with some PVC to actually feed them through the back inside and with the water, because I wasn't going in there. Yeah, it was.
What happened? Did predators get the other ones?
No, we gave them. So I told my wife I'm done with them. So we had a family friend that has a farm. So she took the 3 remaining hens. And my wife told me to take the rooster to a Green Dragon, which is like an animal auction near us. And I was like, well, if I can catch them, I'll take them. I wasn't able to catch them. So I had a 20-gauge laying around that I didn't get to shoot yet. So I just waited for him to walk away from the rest of them. And, yeah, that ended that one. Yeah, and everyone's like, well, why didn't you use something smaller, like a 17 or a 22? I was like, because you have to literally hit them in the back of the head in a spot like this big. And I'm like, I never shot a chicken before. I don't know, like, where the spot is. I know a 20 gauge will do the job. I was like, you're lucky I didn't use a 12. I mean.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it was.
That's.
But, yeah, I'm going to.
Did you get any eggs out? Did you get eggs out of them?
Yeah, I just sent you the picture of his spurs. But yeah, it was for the first year when they started laying, we were getting like usually they won a day, and that's when we had five hens. So we were usually getting about 30 a week. Then the next year, that dropped to like 12 a week, and then after that, it was like 4 or 5 a week.
Really?
So I don't know if they just weren't like producing, or they were just getting. Usually they'll lay for like 4 or 5 years. Usually, I thought.
They become.
But yeah, they just weren't.
They become Kentucky Fried Chicken when they're not producing.
Yeah, spending all that money on feed and everything else, and I was like, yeah. No.
Well, so that was my worry. That was my worry, and I'm glad you said that, because my worry, like, my wife wanted to do the gardening thing where you put it in one of those raised boxes and stuff. So a buddy of mine made a box at our old house. I went through, bought all the dirt, and bought all the seeds, bought all the plants, bought everything that she needed for that. $100 and some into it, not counting the box. And guess who got stuck watering the plants? Mm-hmm. Me, because she casually forgot. I mean, the plants were about wilting, and I had to, like, you know. Shit, my daughter had a track meet tonight, otherwise she'd be here right now defending herself on this. So we'll have to get her on another one. But yeah, I was like, yeah, we're not doing that again. So the first thing she says when we move here, because now we got all this property, is I want to do a box garden. I'm like, yeah, no. No. So
learn my lesson.
Yeah. We're not doing chickens. We're not doing the box, you know, whatever. So, all right. What are we looking at here? Is this the chicken crossing the road turkeys, or what? Oh, these are the turkeys. Okay. Holy cow. These are the turkeys. They're charging the people in the cars. Look at this.
Yeah, so then you can see.
Right in the middle of the road.
It just runs up right to it, and then.
Why did the
I didn't have the sound on, but you can see right there, he let out one.
He gobbled. Why did the turkey?
I got the white head and everything, but yeah, they were the one. Like I said, that's half a mile down my road, and I saw that. I was just like, oh, they got to be pets, because I don't hear them or see them. And I got 20 acres behind my house that I have trail cameras through that I haven't seen a single one on. So,
is this the spurs of what? The chicken that you sent me?
What? Yes. So that's, as you can see, it's the back one. So it's the one up the farthest.
Right here.
Yeah, that guy. So that's the actual spur on the rooster.
Well, the rooster, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm not trying to play with that. That's
a limb hanger there.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking it was
that's what you look for in turkeys. Yeah. You had them on your rooster.
Smaller, but yeah, I saw that and I was like, yep, good thing we didn't play that try to catch him game.
You didn't mount him on the wall?
Yeah, I thought about it. I was just gonna like take the picture and be like, "Look, the biggest spur I'll probably ever get." But,
so now we know, ladies and gentlemen, what Jake does in his spare time: he chases roosters, kills chickens, digs ruts in his yard. Ruts. He hunts a little different than the rest of us.
Yeah. Got that backwood hunting.
Yeah, he does. He does that old backwood hunting. Well, hopefully you get to go out fishing at some point this season, at least.
I want to. I gotta get my buy a new rod. I think mine's probably seen better days. I had it now for 10 years or so. So I'll probably get a new rod coming up. Get my tackle box out, and like I mentioned, there's a lake by my house. I might go and just fish that, or I know there's a few places that are stocked with trout, so we'll see if
see what you can pull.
I get to go out and what happens.
Yeah, that's always the thing, right? Is like Braden said earlier, time, and then when you have kids like like Braden's age, this was the first year that my kids casted and reeled their own poles, and they know how to do it. They casted their own, and my daughter knows now that she can cast because she casted it and caught a fish on it. So right. I didn't have to do anything. So it's good to see that, where that was stressful, especially when they'd be hitting all the time. You know, it's you're baiting a hook, you're casting a line, you're giving the pole to the child, you're going back and doing the next child. Meanwhile, now the child's yelling because he's got a fish on the line. Yep. My son's favorite quote is, "Get the net!" That's his favorite thing to say. So, if he's not catching it, he's running for the net, and you have to, like, fight him for it so that you can try to net somebody's fish. But I try to tell them, you know, you lay the net in the water, that's the target, and the person reeling in the fish is going to bring that fish to the net. Because if you start swatting at it, you're going to knock it off the line.
All right, maybe he'll be a professional fish netter.
You never know. Even on the boat, that's the first thing he's running for. I'm like, Daniel, you're not gonna fit in there. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward more to getting out in the lake, going for some catfish. I'd love to hook into a muskie. I've never caught one of them. I'd like to get a big striper. Never caught one of them. So I don't know. Those type of fish, I'd like to go and get on a crappie kill where we catch like 50 crappie in a day. I think that would be good because you'd flay them suckers. But we'll have to see. So that's why I'm trying to get the boat now with the jet washer. Get that sucker all cleaned up, because they have the decks on them things, man. If you go on with shoes, it just mashes the dirt right into that deck.
That little textured deck.
Yeah, it's not good. And that's where bacteria gets, and the next thing you know, you got this big bacteria outbreak on your deck. So that's why I said with the pressure washer, you can get it all cleared out. Because with the lake water, if it sits in the sun, algae starts coming in. You get that big outbreak of algae. So.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, but hopefully we'll have some videos of that. My brother's actually coming out this weekend, so to pick up his bow, so that should be fun getting that set up. Maybe I'll have some video of that.
I'm going to try to get out this weekend, some as long as the weather cooperates.
Yeah, we won't
take the camera out, get some footage.
It's going to be raining just about all weekend and cold here, like 40 some degrees. So I won't be able to hit it. But you're further east of me, so you might be okay. So we'll have to see. But I think we got to wrap it up, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out Jake on Instagram. You might see some of that backwoods hunting going on Instagram.com/
Most likely will.
Oxen Chevy. You can see those ruts. You can see how he kills chickens, kills roosters with 20-gauge, all that good stuff. Are you sure you're not from Duck Dynasty?
I mean, sometimes I feel like I act like it. Some of the stuff I do, it's one of those things. It's like, man, that if that wasn't country, I don't know what was.
Jake's our long lost brother.
I'm thinking so. Braden Pennington, you can check him out Instagram.com/Braden07. And guys, really appreciate you tuning in. I know it was a week early, but look, we didn't want to cancel the show. We wanted to keep it going. We will be back next Thursday night, not Wednesday, Thursday, back to our regular time, unless there's something that comes up during the weeks and we have to move it to Wednesday. But for right now, we're gonna have it on Thursdays. It seems to work best for everybody right now. So we will see you then. We appreciate you tuning in, and send in, whether on social media, leave a comment. Let us know what you want us to talk about or who you want us to talk to, if there's a company of interest. And we'll see you next week. Keep those lines tight. See you next week.